We're here with Faith Erin Hicks, the creator of Superhero Girl and Friends with Boys and a whole host of other books out and coming out soon. Thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Let's go through this because you are one of those just classic overnight successes, you know, where just out of the blue, you came from nowhere, as long as overnight is a decade of eating ramen and struggling in your apartment.
Yeah, that's really... Yeah, if overnight is 10 years, I first started making comics online in 1999. That was when I posted my very first comic page online. And back when I was in college, and over the course of making that webcomic, which was called Demonology 101, all of a sudden, by the time I'd finished it, it was 5 years later, and it was a 700-page comic. And I just continued from there. I think I've made, in the past 10 years, about 2,000 pages of comics. I think I've been paid for about maybe 600 pages, and I've been paid a living wage for about maybe 400 pages. So, yeah, overnight success. That totally sums up my career.
For people that have followed your career, it has been a slow but definitely upward trajectory. And then for other people, it seems like you just have kind of exploded on the scene this year, because this year, let me see if I've got them all here. You've had Adventures of Superhero Girl published by Dark Horse. You've got The Last of Us, American Dreams published by Dark Horse. Friends with Boys, was that this year or was that late? That was late last year. And then you have upcoming, you have What Could Possibly Go Wrong from First Second.
Yeah, Nothing Can Possibly Go Wrong from First Second comes out in May. And yeah, I don't know. This year was just a snowball year, I guess. And I have four. Oh, I even have another book. I have a young reader's graphic novel that I did with Jay Torres called Bigfoot Boy coming out in the fall from Kids Can Press. So I have. Oh, and I'm also involved in three anthologies, possibly. The first anthology, which I just completed my submission for, is called True Patriot, and it is an anthology of Canadian comic book creators, and we're all doing various takes on superheroes. So I really hope people don't get sick of me. I hope you will, want to read my comics in the future, that I haven't completely overwhelmed you with all my comics this year.
Well, maybe the opposite effect, that we're just going to get used to like an every other month dose of your work, and if you just don't keep up this pace, there's going to be problems.
I know. I mean, I wish I actually could spread out the amount of work that I have coming out this year. I wish I could spread it out a little bit, because I don't think I'll have much come out next year. It just happened that everything fell on 2013 for some reason.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's go with Friends with Boys for a moment, that came out last year. Friends with Boys is a supernatural tale. Well, I don't know if supernatural is the right way. It's about a girl who's been homeschooled, who then goes to high school where her brothers are, and is somehow comes into contact with a ghost. Do I more or less have it right?
Yeah, kind of. It's like slice of nut. I think of it as like a slice of life with a supernatural twist story. Because the story is mostly about Maggie, the main character, and she's been homeschooled all of her life and lives this fairly sheltered existence with her family. She has three very rough and tumble brothers, and that's basically been her whole world for many years. And then she goes into public high school for the very first time, which is very shocking and very overwhelming. But at the same time, she's haunted by a ghost. So, yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is also, minus the ghost part, that's also kind of mirrors your life, correct? You were homeschooled, sheltered life, and then when did your parents just cast you out into that cold, cruel world?
Yeah, they shoved me out of the nest, like Maggie, for public high school. Friends with Boys, that was the very first time that I made a graphic novel based on my own experiences. Nothing in Friends with Boys is literally true. I didn't, as Maggie does, I didn't have punk friends in high school, but a lot of the stuff in there I say is emotionally true. I have three brothers, and the family dynamics is kind of based on my own family dynamics. I have never seen a ghost, though.
That continues a relationship that you've had with First Second. And you did something there that you're doing with Nothing Can Possibly Go Wrong, which is you serialized it online first. Tell me a little bit about that decision to go with that.
Yeah, First Second has this really cool program called To Be Continued, and some of their graphic novels, again, that's a decision they make early on in the stage when the graphic novel is being made, eventually go online, and then the entire book is posted online until the book's publication date. So Friends with Boys ran online until its publication date in February of last year, and Nothing Can Possibly Go Wrong is also online, and you can read it now for free at Nothing Can Possibly Go Wrong. I came from web comics. That's how I got started initially, and I really think it's beneficial to put your work online, and it allows you to reach out to readers you might not normally access, because like sometimes comics have issues of accessibility, like maybe not everyone has access to a good comic book store or even a good bookstore, but everyone has practically everyone has a computer and has the internet and possibly has access to sites like Amazon. So it encourages readers who might not normally pick up the book to get a chance to sample it and then hopefully, the theory goes, purchase the book if they like it.
Now, another online comic that you had was Adventures of Superhero Girl, and that was sort of one of those comics that straddled both worlds because it was online, but yet it was also being published in the weekly free newspaper. Is that correct?
Yeah, Superhero Girl started because I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and there's a free weekly newspaper called The Coast, and it's just, you know, your typical alternative rag. It has, like, you know, concert listings and, you know, a sex column in the back of the paper. And they do a cool thing where they get local artists to draw the comics. And they were looking for someone. And at the time, I was poor enough and desperate enough that I was willing to draw a comic for them, an original comic for them, for $45 a strip. And these comics take about a day to produce. So I was making significantly less than minimum wage. But again, you know, I was desperate and poor enough that, you know, $45 was something I was willing to do all that work for. So I did that for 2 years and then ran the comic online on just a little website that I set up for it. And eventually had to put it aside just due to the fact that I was getting more work that, you know, was better paying. But then Dark Horse approached me about doing a collection, and they've produced this absolutely beautiful book that I'm completely thrilled with. And it's in color, and, you know, the webcomic and the comic that was published in The Coast is black and white. But I'm really thrilled that they published a color edition.
Now, you didn't go in color, is that correct? Someone else came and colored it?
Yeah, it was Chris Peter. I'd actually previously worked with her on the Girl Comics anthology I did with Marvel a few years ago. But I thought she did an amazing job. I'm a huge fan of her coloring.
Yeah, I was going to say, I read it originally online in black and white and then read it again in color. And it's not a completely different comic, but it definitely adds some layers to it that, you know, weren't necessarily evident the first time through. How comfortable is it for you just to hand your work off to someone else and go, okay, go color it, go make it pretty, and I'll be over here working on this?
It can be stressful. There has been instances where I haven't been comfortable with the way people colored my work, but Chris is just an amazing colorist, and I actually really enjoy, you know, passing off my comics to her and just, you know, letting her go crazy with it, because, yeah, she is my favorite color. She's done an amazing job on the comics that I've worked with her.
Moving down the timeline here, you also put out from Dark Horse single issues now of The Last of Us American Dreams. Tell us a little bit about that one.
The Last of Us American Dreams is the comic book prequel to the upcoming PlayStation 3 Naughty Dog game, The Last of Us. And it is a four-issue comic focusing on the backstory of Ellie, who is one of the main characters of the game. The game centers around two survivors in a post-pandemic world, a world that's been completely decimated by this plague. Ellie and Joel, and they travel across America and, you know, things happen. I can't say anymore for fear of spoilers, but The Last of Us American Dreams takes place a year before the game, and it focuses on Ellie, and she meets up with, she's basically being forced into a sort of military-type school, a feeder school that will eventually feed her into the army once she turns 16. So she meets up with a girl in the school, and they basically have one last adventure. And again, I can't say more for spoilers, but I'm really thrilled to be working on this comic. It's very different from my usual work. It's dark, but it still has, you know, some of my humor in it. That was something I really fought for. I felt like it shouldn't be completely dark at all time. And the look is very different, too. It's very gritty, fairly grim, but I'm very proud of it.
How did this come about? Because this is, you know, when I think of your work, video game prequel adaptation is not the first phrase that comes to mind.
Yeah, a few people have said that. Naughty Dog actually requested me. The game, The Last of Us, artistic director on The Last of Us, Neil Druckmann, also the game's writer, apparently read Friends with Boys and thought that, I don't know, apparently I was the one at the top of the list. And I'm really thrilled that they asked for me. I feel like what really drew me to the project initially was Neil was very upfront in saying that they wanted to make a good comic. They just didn't want to make something that was going to be a tie-in to the game, cash in on the game's notoriety or anything like that. They just wanted to make a good comic. And I was really on board once I heard that.
Now, this is not the first time that you've worked with a writer and you're doing the art. Like you said before, you did Bigfoot Boy with Jay Torres, right? How is it, though, for you working off of someone else's script when you're so used to sort of controlling all of it?
Yeah, it is completely different. I work with a writer on Bigfoot Boy, which is a young reader series I do with Kids Can Press. So I work with Jay Torres, who is great. He's very experienced with making comics. He's very easy to work with, and that is very fantastic. The nice thing about The Last of Us, though, is that I'm actually the co-writer. So I'm able to go in and make suggestions as to how the comic should be paced. Like, I'm very opinionated about comic pacing. You know, I feel like comics should be compressed or decompressed in a certain way. So I feel like I was able to produce, when it comes to The Last of Us, I was able to produce a comic that does feel like it's my work. So that's very important to me.
So moving ahead now, nothing could possibly go wrong. A high school comedy involving potentially killer robots.
Yeah, this is my next book for First Second. It comes out May 7th. It will be debuting at TCAF, the Toronto Comic Arts Festival. So if you're there, please come and buy a book from me. Oh man, this book. It is crazy, over the top action comedy. It's about two guys, Nate and Charlie. Nate is a geek, Charlie is a jock, but they've been friends for a really long time and next door neighbors. And through a series of events, they end up competing against each other in a high school election, and things go horribly wrong. And yeah, there's like robot fights, there's Gestapo cheerleaders. It's a really fun book. I hope people enjoy it, because man, it was crazy to draw.
Yeah, again, and this is another one that you were not writing, so the script was brought to you. How did you get involved in that project?
Actually, that was an adaptation. I wrote the script for it, but it was an adaptation of a young adult manuscript, an unpublished young adult manuscript by the writer Prudence Shen. So again, you know, I was able to, I guess, enforce my opinions on comic pacing, which was really cool. I mean, it was nice with Nothing Can Possibly Go Wrong, because I was able to take this fully formed story, and it was quite long. Like, the original manuscript was, I think, about 200 pages of, you know, like typed 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. So if it had been published in book form, it probably would have been like close to 400 pages. But I was able to take that, you know, that fully formed story, a very cool, very funny story, and compress it and pick out all the parts that I liked best and create a very unique graphic novel something that feels both uniquely mine and uniquely Prudence's. But yeah, it was like with that one, I was really, really happy that I was able to write the script myself and, you know, pull out Prudence's dialogue. And we ended up collaborating on certain scenes. Like, there was a scene late in the comic where I wasn't happy with the initial scene that Prudence had written, so we went back and forth and made a new scene that I felt like was more satisfying to the overall story. It was a really fun project.
And then that comes out May 7th, you said, and debuting at Toronto Comic Art Fest.
Arts Festival, yeah.
So take us into the future. You said you've got 3 anthologies coming up.
Yeah, hopefully. One is hopefully going to be a Kickstarter anthology. That's not confirmed yet, but I hope to be a contributing member of that. One that I just finished my submission for is the True Patriot anthology. Jay Torres started that, and we've been funded through Indiegogo. And it's going to be a bunch of really cool Canadian artists and writers. And we're all, like, you know, jamming on Canadian superheroes and stuff like that. I did a superhero girl piece, so if you want more superhero girls, check out this anthology. And then the third one is Flight Explorer. I've been invited to submit a piece there. there. So hopefully nothing will go wrong, and hopefully I will get it done and get it into them. But I'm really excited to possibly be in that anthology. I'm a huge fan of Kazuo Kabuki and James Caffo and those guys. I think it's a really cool anthology for young readers.
Do you have then a graphic novel or something percolating in the back of your head as well?
Yes, always. I can't say any more than that, but you know, I'm talking with one of my publishers, and we'll see. We'll see. I'm hopeful for the future. It's been the publishers that I worked with; they've all been wonderful, and hopefully, we'll be best friends forever and ever, and publish hundreds and hundreds of comics.
So, superhero girl, I gotta ask. I mean, I know that $45 a day is that's ridiculous, yeah. But or $45 a week, whatever it was, but. Are there more superhero girl stories for you? I mean, you said that you got another one in the flight.
True Patriot.
Are there more stories? Do you have more that you want to tell?
I do, and I really miss that comic. Of all the comics I've made, like that one was definitely something that brought me a lot of joy. It was nice doing a gag comic because, you know, I normally work in the graphic novel format, which is, you know, 200, 300 page books, right? But it was really nice with Superhero Girl. I just do the one strip, and that was the story. Like, the whole story was right there in that one comic. I don't want to make any promises because I'm just so busy, and it feels like every time I start thinking about going back to Superhero Girl, stuff just pops up, but I would really love to get it going as a webcomic and, you know, maybe even every other week do a comic and just post it online, just because it gives me pleasure, you know, I really enjoy that comic. I feel like it's me at my most, my most ridiculous, my silliest, and that's fun, you know, as a creator, that's really fun to do.
It's good to let loose every once in a while.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
So let's wrap this up the way we usually do by asking you, what's your issue? What's that comic you read that is so crazy, wild, out there that when you find yourself talking to your friends, you're like, hey, did you read this?
I actually just finished the collected edition of Flex Mantello by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, and I need to read it, I think, about 50 more times to understand what the heck that book was about, but... wow, like it was really interesting. And I just ended up talking to my friends about it, and I'm not even sure how to describe it. I'm just like, hey, you should check out this book because I don't even know what it was about, but it was amazing. And I love Frank Quitely stuff, Frank Quitely's comics. I feel like he has a grasp of the comic medium that is just unparalleled, and that guy has no peer, really. And you know, when he's teamed up with Grant Morrison, it's like something supernatural. It can't, like, there's no bad pages in a Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely comic. So I definitely need to reread it because I did not understand it, but it was amazing.
I think that could be said for a lot of Grant Morrison
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you very much for meeting with us. All the best to you. And I'm looking forward to a dozen comics from you in 2014.
I can only hope. Thank you for having me.